When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is going on, Notre Dame fans? Mike Singer and Mike Goolsbee here with the Mike Goolsbee Show, talking all things Notre Dame football. Notre Dame coming out victorious, 45-32. Should have been in the 50s, but yeah, like Joey says in this comment, please hit a thumbs up on this video if you're watching on YouTube. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, of course, if you have somehow not done that yet. Head over to blueandgold.com, your home of all things Notre Dame Fighting Irish. So, Mr. Goolsbee, just how are you doing on this Sunday, man?
Not bad. Probably not as good as you with that big Dolphins win. But, yeah, worked some kids out this morning. Got a little sun. Always look forward to seeing you, 6 p.m. Central every Sunday. So, happy to be here, bro. Nice Irish win as well.
Dude, it's been a great weekend. I sat down in this chair getting ready for the show, and I'm thinking, man, the Dolphins are winning. I cover Notre Dame football full-time. I get to do this fantastic show with Mike Goolsbee. Could it be better? Could not be better. So here's the flow of the show tonight for folks who are with us live and watching back. We're just two guys hanging out in the garage talking Notre Dame football. So we're going to go through our notes, but if you guys have any questions, please drop a super chat and we will we'll get to you right away. This comment here, is it just me or did Pine look a tad taller on Saturday? That's funny. Yeah, it's like when he's having a good game, he's a little taller. If not, he's a little shorter, except for that first drive, he had a couple batted down. But Mr. Goolsbee, let's just kind of get right to your initial thoughts of the win. Notre Dame getting a 13-point win on the road.
I was a little bit concerned going into this game, knowing the recruiting classes that Mac Brown stacked up, these athletic type teams like a Florida State, like a UNC type team, they tend to have the ability to like turn it on or turn it off in terms of their level of play. Leading up to the Notre Dame game, the Tar Heels hadn't played well. They hadn't really played anybody to speak of. Defense had played poorly. And I just thought with all those athletes, it's a type of teams, Mike, like where like UNC's got a 350-pound nose tackle wearing like the number four, like those types of teams, like, you know, Florida State will have a, you know what I'm saying. But I was a little bit concerned that they might turn it on and that they smelt a little bit of blood in the water and they could jump, frankly, just jump a team like a Notre Dame. Surprisingly, UNC came out flat, man. And I don't even know if like the stadium was sold out. There didn't seem to be a lot of energy in the stadium. And over time, Notre Dame just asserted itself. Notre Dame went almost back, Mike, to the game plan that we started off the first half of the season with against an Ohio State. We've talked about it many times on this show here. Just kind of that slugfest. And that's ultimately what won us the game. And that's, it seems like, Mike, we found an identity on offense. Kind of a redemption game for Coach Reese. Played a great game. Defense played solid as well. You know, kind of tamped down that lethal UNC offense. So it was a great team win. I mean, even special teams played well. The punt return game got going, which was kind of nice. I mean, I can't remember the last time we got like positive yardage on a punt return or actually even returned it. So I was happy to see that. But it's just nice that Notre Dame has a brand of offensive football. Running downhill, a little bit of play action sprinkled over the top. And like my big takeaway rewatching the game again last night, and a kid like Michael Mayer, a man like Michael Mayer, it's hard to continue to come up with new adjectives to praise the guy. But, and we touched on this last year, I know we had like, he's entering in like Notre Dame into Notre Dame legend status. Yeah. And it's just one of those things where it's like, I know we talked about this specifically with Kyren Williams. Like if a young kid, you know, an 8-year-old kid is watching Notre Dame first football for the first time, watching Kyren Williams play could make somebody a Notre Dame football fan just because of the style and the heart. And it's like Michael Mayer is so dependable and is such a leader, does everything right. He's fun off the field. Like Michael Mayer to me is almost like this year's Kyren Williams. And we're just so blessed to have him on our team, and hopefully he stays healthy. But I mean, truly, dude, the kid's remarkable. You know, he could have had an even better game. You know, Drew missed him on a walk-in touchdown. But those are kind of my immediate takeaways. And some of this is stuff I called for, Mike. It's like, let's run downhill. You don't want to run off tackle with a team against a team like UNC with that much team speed on defense. Run it down their throat, turn it into a fist fight, and hopefully we carry that forward.
Drew Pine, 24 of 34, 289, 3 touchdowns. And then if you look at Notre Dame's big plays that this website says is passing play of more than 15 yards. Notre Dame had 7 of them. Mm-hmm. You know, Pine had a beautiful ball to Lorenzo Styles. Styles is wide open, but still perfect ball. Had a really nice crosser to Mayer. I want to say that was later in the game. I want to say it was this one late or midway through the third quarter. So, I mean, I think this is prime Drew Pine ball. It was basically what you saw last week when he got things rolling against Cal, but then you mix in the element of throwing some balls down.
Yeah.
What did you make of Pine's performance?
It was great. And again, you know, I kind of – Pine's fun to kind of bust his chops a little bit with the whole belly button thing and this and that, but he's what we have. So, like I said, I'm always going to support our starting quarterback. Just it's fun too, or it's – I guess it's a nice – it's nice for Drew that Tyler's hurt. So like there is no conversation about Pine versus Buckner, the back and forth that you and I've dealt with the last 2 years in terms of entertaining all those questions and that kind of debate. So Drew played exceptionally well, still missed a few throws, still missed Lindsey deep. You know, what's new? We missed Lindsey on a deep ball. He missed Mayer kind of on that walk-in kind of little bloop pass, but Drew gets a ton of credit, bro. But on the same and on the other hand, Coach Reese needs to get a lot of credit as well. Mm-hmm. What you saw yesterday, several variables, I'm sure I'll forget a couple, but it's like pass protection was close to perfect. The execution across the board was close to perfect. You had UNC playing off in terms of the secondary all day. I mean, Dan Orlovsky.
Why? Why would you do that if you're North Carolina? What Notre Dame receiver has shown that's a deep threat?
Can take, well, Lindsey, of course. You know, he's a deep threat, but he's not going to catch it. But
yeah, they
we're not going to connect. So, so I don't really know. I mean, Orlovsky, who's did a great job in the booth, kind of a fun guy. We worked out together for the NFL. We had the same agent. But, like, Dan was he said more than once, he was like, UNC is just giving it away. They're just giving up the underneath route. So it was like, when you look at Pine's performance, the offensive line played well, both in pass protection and was opening up massive lanes for our running game. And then just the lack of defensive pressure, it almost felt like, bro, like watching that offense, it almost felt like a walkthrough slash scrimmage kind of tempo and almost like a dress rehearsal for the offense. So, and then, you know, we were kind of – having our little text debate, you, me, and Tim. And it's like when Tyler was in there, there was no running game. And if there was a running game, he was it. So it's like, this is what you see under Coach Reese's offense. If you give a quarterback time to process his reads, you give him a running game, this is the end result. So again, it goes back to the identity. Pine's going to take his shots, a little bit of play action here and there. What I don't want to see is if we get into a bind against against BYU, I don't want to see us divert from the running game. Like, we have to continue to stick with it, run the ball, power game, inside, play defense. That's our identity. I've called for it all year. We have to stick with it. So I don't want to see if BYU, the first, we get, you know, a few three and outs in the first quarter, like nothing's clicking. I don't want to see on the third or fourth series us empty it out and go five wide. Please, let's just stick with the program.
I don't think that Notre Dame would do that unless they're in an absolute desperation mode, Mike, because they just don't have the personnel for that. You know, it's not like, oh.
Well, we've seen Reese try it. I mean, we've seen him try it. I mean, we've seen five wide plenty of times. Oh, well, with Buckner, I mean, we had solid five wide.
Yeah, I think more with Buckner, because it's like, let's see what we have here. But with Pine, I don't think that's just going to be an option. I think that what we saw against North Carolina, that's the template for this offense. And Mike, is it kind of like North Carolina did literally everything to help Notre Dame move the football? I mean, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, is it more of Notre Dame or success or North Carolina bad? I think it's probably 50-50. Like, North Carolina's defense was terrible, but Notre Dame didn't shoot themselves in the foot much at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched your and Tim's show. You would ask Tim, you had said, yeah. Tim, is it more Notre Dame executing efficiently or is it UNC just being a bad defense? And the answer is yes.
Yeah. What was his worst take, Mike?
I wasn't really paying that close of attention, if I'm being completely honest with you. But I did have it on in the background. I was working in the garage. Yeah. So, I think the answer is yes. We played exceptionally well on offense. And UNC, they're a bad football program. They sort of collapsed. I mean, there was a run there at the fourth quarter. They had two unnecessary roughness penalties, a pass. I think they had three major penalties back to back to back. You know, the sideline commenter, they're fighting on the sidelines. They're not a great team, but it's a nice confidence builder for us. And, no penalties, no drive killers on offense to speak of. You know, Blake Fisher got a little loose, got a false start once, but again, it just comes back to, we now have an identity. And I feel like so many of these shows, Michael, I swear to you, it's like deja vu. It's like we've said these same things previous seasons, previous games. We have, you know, why do we have to go through this 2-3 week trial process before it's like, okay, we've got a bunch of studs on the O-line, let's just pound the ball.
And then who is the new freshman that everyone's in the – I mean, Notre Dame could have scored 150 points on Saturday, but if Tobias Merriweather doesn't play, that's all we can talk about in the YouTube. The comments of, you know, what does Tobias Merriweather – or what does Matt Salerno do that Tobias Merriweather can't? What's your response to that, Mike? Because that's a very prevalent thing.
We talked about the word trust, and I think coaches have said as much in terms of the responses. Why is it Tobias seeing more run on the field? And it's a question of trust. So Matt Salerno is probably one of those kids. He's the first in the building. He's the last one to leave. The coaches trust him, and he's earned that trust. He's earned that opportunity. I don't imagine he's going to take the top off a defense like Tobias would. But you've got a bye week here, right? So that gives him, and a lot of younger guys, Prince Kali, you know, wink, wink. I can't really wink that well, but I think we're going to see a lot more Prince next week with JD being out again, missing another first half. And, I don't know if you've been to South Bend, Mike. They've got a really nice Meijer there. They've got Walmart. You know, JD needs to stop, you know, needs to learn to shop somewhere else. You know, stay away from Target. It's I was trying to come up with like a dad Target joke all night. It's the best I can do. But, stop shopping at whatever. So, I think Prince is going to play a little bit. But, yeah, but this off week should give Tobias more reps and more opportunity to earn that coach's trust. But, again, I mean, after the way that we started this season, a lot of things went out the window in terms of big plans and big goals for the season. That's the perfect time for a coach to roll out a young kid and just give him an opportunity. So he has to be developmentally further behind. But some people were going to die on that Tobias Merriweather hill, and God love him.
We saw it with Jordan Johnson, and now he's, you know, lighting it up on UCF's bench. It's just one of those things, like, do you trust the coaches? That's up to you. If you don't, then yell for Merriweather. But if you do, then
yeah, let's focus on. And you know, I know you and I did like a, maybe it was the last podcast that you and I did prior to kicking off the season against Ohio State, and I had talked about this could be the, a new era of Notre Dame where we're like creating the stars, like the Ricky Waters and the Rocket Ishmaels, the Michael Stonebreakers, the Todd Lights, like, you know, that I sort of grew up watching and sort of made me fall in love with Notre Dame. We're starting to see it a little bit four games into the season, like Audric Estime, like how can you not root for a kid that runs that hard, runs behind his pads? Obviously, Michael Mayer is a star. You know, we're still looking for a couple more, but let's focus on the talent and the production that we do have. And I'm telling you, Audric Estime, I know we'll talk about it, but I was rewatching before I got on this. I was watching the fourth quarter, and that kid on the drive prior to him fumbling in the end zone, and what an effort, right? We won't hold it against him. But he's heaving. I mean, he's sucking wind, right? He's sucking wind, and he's not tapping his helmet. Like, he's like, give me the ball more. Even though he's out of breath, and I'm just like, man, I love to see that kind of stuff, dude. I love to see it.
All right, let's talk running backs, and then I want to just kind of get your overall thoughts on the defense. I made this point with the show with Tim Hyde right after the game. I think it was Diggs actually got the start.
He did.
A lot in the first quarter. Estime didn't even get a carry in the first quarter. You didn't see him. He had three carries going into halftime, and then you see him, look at all these fourth quarter carries, Mike, these are all fourth quarter carries. So it just seemed like let's get these Diggs carries going, and then let's get more Tyree involved, and then let Estime finish the game because
salted away.
This defense is clearly sucking wind. And now you got a fresh Audric Estime pounding the rock. I mean, dude, he got through the line with ease. And then when he broke into the second level, it was 5-10 yards after contact, like every single time. The dude was just a beast. And then when we talk about Tommy Rees, and I always will say this, I'm fine with giving the unpopular opinions. I think Tommy's been outstanding. He might be Notre Dame's offensive MVP this year.
Well, not Joe Alt.
Well, that was a given, Mike.
Yeah, so he's one, Joe Alt's 1A, Coach Rees is 1B. Well, so you just threw a lot at me, so let's
okay. Go to running backs and then Tommy.
You sound like you're turning into me, dude. You're just going on these 5-minute rants. So what do you want me to talk about first?
The running backs, running back usage, and then Tommy.
Peculiar that Logan Diggs got the start. It's kind of like you didn't play at all last week and you get the start. I'll go along with it. To your point, Mike, we're going to trust the coaches. He looked a little bit bouncier, a little bit more decisive. And I'd still like to see him lose like 5 pounds or something just to get a little bit more burst out of him. I like the usage of Tyree. And again, I think Tyree is going to make for a nice little NFL player because you can do so many things with him. And Estime is probably my favorite right now. Just total package, because again, I want the downhill running. When we play these elite teams, a Clemson, Ohio State, they have speed. And the best counter to speed is to punch somebody in the freaking, you know, punch him in the nose. And I don't care how fast Diggs thinks he is or how fast Tyree actually is. I mean, it's hard to beat a good angle. It's impossible. So Estime to me is your lead back. Because that's what's going to produce the most against athletic team speed on defense is to run downhill. He runs behind his pads. And I'm kind of like watching him run, Mike, and he doesn't necessarily run anybody over. And it's like you don't see Derrick Henry necessarily run anybody over, these big, you know, big physically imposing backs. But it's hard for somebody to will themselves to stand in front of him and take it. So you see a lot of arm tackles, things like that. Estime does a great job. We saw it in the spring game, was the first sort of glimpse of this. We saw as him, he can set people up and he steps out of a lot of tackles like we saw Kyren do. So he's not going to just be blowing people up. This isn't a video game, create a character in Madden. But the way he runs his pads behind his pads, and I texted you and Tim during the game, forget what series it was, maybe second quarter, we're passing, they bring an outside linebacker blitz. Estime steps up and blaps the dude, almost sits the guy down. Number 24 came on a blitz, and we hadn't seen that from Diggs, obviously, and he gets a bit of a pass because of the shoulder thing. Okay. But, I mean, that's like picture-perfect pass protection, blocking a guy inside out, being physical. So I'm a big, big, big fan of Estime, primarily, Mike, because you can run downhill, and when you play these elite teams with elite team speed, that's the best counter to speed, is to run it down their throat. So that's why he gets my vote.
All right, and then the Reese.
Mike Coach Reese? Well, we said the hate for Reese was so strong the first couple weeks. It was like, it was almost like, I don't think he's doing that bad. You know, like, we got to execute. So an offensive coordinator, we talked about this. What are the responsibilities of a coach? Offensive coordinators to scout, to game plan, to, you know, develop players, and call a great game. So I didn't have a problem with his play calls early in the season. I had a problem with the execution. And yes, some of that lack of execution falls on Reese and this coaching staff. But, you know, like when Tyler was going, we go back to when Buckner was behind center, there's a lot of interior pressure, a lot of false starts, and some of that stuff, most of it's been cleaned up. And overnight, once all that cleans up, now Coach Reese is a, you know, a boy genius. So, and I think to his credit, he tried on a lot of different things, a lot of different packages, a lot of different personnel groupings, formation shifts throughout the course of the season. And shockingly, it's like he's landed on, we're going to have a power running game and lean on a pretty strong defense. So good for him for just acknowledging it. And I think the coaching staff, Mike, last thing, the coaching staff across the board, defensively too, you're starting to see a little bit less rotation. And I think this coaching staff's really starting to get their arms around who they have, what they're best at, as far as performance is concerned. So it should just be more of the same going forward.
All right. We'll talk about Estime for another second and then get into the defense, specifically Al Golden. Because we talk about Tommy Reese 80% of these shows and never Al Golden.
Yeah.
So you have discussed, as a former inside backer, that you would rather go in the hole up against someone like Estime rather than a Tyree, because Tyree is going to make you look silly. And Estime, you just got to hold on for dear life. Do you feel that way about Estime, or is he just a different breed of that power back?
Yes, given the choice, if I'm playing on national TV, I'd rather see Audric Estime in a hole one-on-one than I would Tyree, personally. I'm 6'3", 6'4". I got to drop my weight all the way down there to try and tackle a kid Tyree's size.
5'9", 5'10", yeah.
I mean, if that's – yeah, he's, you know, again, whatever – however tall coach – or excuse me, however tall Drew Pine is, he and Tyree are looking eye to eye. So that's just my personal preference. What's interesting about the way Audric runs the ball, the timing on the run seems to be a little bit better. Like Tyree has still kind of yet to just nail the timing of some of these runs, where I know he runs hard. He's a willing runner, but I don't know if he just, the holes don't quite seem to be as big for Tyree as they do Estime. And some of that, I think, is just Estime's, you know, feel for that inside run game. I think Tyree can develop it, but it's like, why don't you see longer runs from Tyree? And I just think he needs to be a little bit, like, a split second more patient to give those blocks time to develop. And that's no knock on Tyree. I mean, Tyree's kind of been used as a gadget guy, outside runner, up to this point in his career. So I think that'll continue to improve throughout the course of the season.
Okay. Sorry, the size. Just keeping an eye on the Bucks game. I don't have any money on that one.
Turn into a real degenerate, bro. Drinking whiskey, bad sports.
I said I don't have any.
On that game, anyway.
yeah. good stuff, Mr. Goolsby, on the running backs in agreement. I had another point on that, but we're just going to move on because now I forget. Defense. Have you seen anything schematically different with Al Golden as defensive coordinator? I mean, it seems like they're running more four-man fronts than last year.
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen from the defense schematically?
I think it's been a couple games since we've seen the three down linemen and putting your first-round defensive end at inside linebacker. So I think we finally flushed that down the toilet, thank God. So that's one big schematic difference.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I touched on this last week, and that they're really trying to feature Marist Liufau. They're toying with him. So this week we saw him kind of get away from being like a prototypical kind of classic inside linebacker, discipline on run fits, and you let him play a little bit more freely. It's like, okay, we're going to use his athleticism and his length and have him spy their quarterback. So that was something different that we hadn't seen. But that takes me back to like a previous point, Mike, and that I think the coaching staff as a whole is like really starting to truly identify what individual players' strengths and weaknesses are, and they're playing to that. I don't think that we see as many exotic pressures as we saw with Freeman. I mean, Freeman brought all kinds of noise, and some of it didn't make sense. Some of it was poorly timed. So I think just holistically, Mike, I think that Al Golden has a little bit more of a conservative approach, less exotic fires. And then it just comes down to like, you know, individual players winning one-on-one. And that you got less on your plate, less to think about. You let your physical talent kind of take over. That's pretty simple. Okay. I did see too, you know, Tim's all upset about Cam Hart giving up that 4th and 21, which is totally justified. Like, I get it, but Mike, do we have any interceptions on the year yet? We got a forced fumble. So I think,
turnover.
You know, Cam Hart's watching a little bit too much Jalen Ramsey, you know. But Cam Hart's not – he hasn't signed a $100 million deal yet. But I feel like some of these kids are putting pressure on themselves to create a pick. I mean, they're getting close, but that's what you see Cam Hart kind of stupidly gambling on a 4th and 21 situation. But I really think the lack of turnovers is what that gamble was sort of born out of, if you understand.
That was gonna be in my next question, so glad you covered that one. Milton Fam with the super chat, love the win, still can't understand what took so long to get Chris Tyree involved. Offense seems more cohesive. Appreciate the super chat, Milton Fam. Yeah, Tim, it seems like after the Marshall game, it's like, where's Chris Tyree in this offense? And I think the media and the fans started clamoring for Tyree and screens. And then against Cal, we saw those things.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on Tyree's performance this season and this more cohesive offense. And I'll also put up this for our YouTube audience. I'll put up the season stats so folks can kind of see where that's at through the season so far.
I don't have an answer as to what the coaches where Tyree was up until the very recent past. Like, I don't have the answer. I just know that in that first couple games, our interior offensive lineman was doo-doo. Like, they weren't good. So it's like, okay, so, and this is what Coach Reese has had to deal with. It's like, okay, I don't have wide receiver depth. I don't have interior line play. I'm breaking in a brand new quarterback. I think he was trying to figure out like workarounds there versus like, okay, I'm going to plug in different kids. I've said this multiple times. Truly, I don't know if we knew on any given third down, like what back was in the game. I don't know, with like, because if The backs are rotating with Coach McCullough. I'm assuming that's his call, who's coming in and who's going out. And it's like, okay, we're leaving Logan Diggs in to pass protect and pick up blitzers with kind of a, you know, bum shoulder. And we're throwing, you know, toss pitches to Audric Estime. You know, we're running him wide. I don't really know if there was a lot of synchronicity.
I like it. I kind of liked it. Just go with it.
Synchronicity to like the play call and what player was in the game. And maybe there's been more of a focus towards that. Like, let's actually, okay. And Freeman said that in the press conference, like they each have three different packages, but that didn't really bear itself out to be true. Like, why would we be running Audric Estime towards the sideline? So what he says in a press conference isn't necessarily accurate. You know,
Tim really got stuck on that point. Is it three different offenses? I don't know. I never thought that was a big deal.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
it's just
not, I mean, like I said, I'm not gonna. It's something that Freeman said in a press conference. It could have been a throwaway comment. Who's your coach, Mike McDaniel, down there in Miami?
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. Dude loves to talk. Like, I saw a clip where he's going dives real deep into the Tyreek Hill trade, and I'm like, well, that's a young man, young head coach. Probably does a little bit too much talking. So, like, even if Freeman said that out of pocket, like we have three different packages. It didn't – what we saw in the film didn't reflect that. And if it did, it was like you had the wrong guy for a specific package. So either way, I don't have a great answer, but I'm just glad we're using Tyree. And, hell, I mean, on that pass interference, we put him out there as a slot receiver. I do love the two-back offense. I called for that in the offseason. I want some credit for that. The two-back offense has been super successful for us thus far when we use it.
I don't know if you can squint and really look at the receiving numbers.
Oh, goodness.
Michael Mayer's your lead. Sorry, let me zoom in, Mr. Crosby.
I just turned 40, dude. My eyes are going.
So Michael Mayer's got 22 catches for 233 yards and three touchdowns. That's your leading receiver through four games. Lorenzo Styles is second with 16 catches for 221 yards and a touchdown. Chris Tyree is your third leading receiver with 12 catches, 88 yards, and a touchdown. So let's put the tight ends and running backs aside. Your second leading wide receiver, that position through four games, has seven catches for 69 yards and zero touchdowns, and that's Braden Lindsey. Is that still, like, as we talk about this North Carolina game, there's so many positives, like the play calling, the 21 personnel usage, Pine, my boy Joe Ault. There's a lot of good to talk about, but it was North Carolina. And they stink defensively. Like, they're awful.
They're putrid.
And then Notre Dame, like, they still have these big receiver issues. Like, going into the season, Mike, I'm going to go on a little Goolsby tangent. What was the problem? Like, what was the number one concern we had about Notre Dame? The receivers, right?
The wide receiver, yeah.
But anytime Pine struggles, it has nothing to do with it. We don't talk about the receivers. Talk about Drew Pine and Tommy Rees. It's fire those guys and get them benched. But this receiver thing is still an issue. Like, so.
Yeah. Well, I think I said this last week or the week before. It's like, who do you have? Who are you going to war with? You know? We know what Michael Mayer is in terms of dependability, reliability. He's uncoverable. We're starting to feel pretty good about Lorenzo Styles. Didn't have the greatest game against Cal, but, like, you know, he's been a consistent.
Yeah.
And you saw flashes going back to his true freshman year. And you had, like, Tyree and Estime in terms of, like, proven commodities, playmakers. That's who we're going to war with, right? Going into the comments, and I love them. Like, our last video, Mike, you got like 200 comments, right? I'm out here stirring the pot, brother. But everybody's like, we have all this talent. Well, do we, you know? Cause I mean, I'm looking at that number, and a former walk-on is your second leading, close to being your second leading receiver. Yeah. Braden Lindsey ain't it. He's just not it, you know? Oh, Buckner's inaccurate. He can't complete a deep ball to Lindsey. It's like, well, you saw today, Drew Pine can't either. So it's like there's a common denominator in that, in both of those scenarios. And it's Lindsey. I mean, he's a nice player, but he ain't necessarily it. So yeah, the talent in that room maybe is overvalued based off of star ratings or what have you. But you got to like go to war with the guys that you that are proven. And let's go with that two back offense and let's use Tyree and feature him. And like I said, he's going to do that in the NFL. I mean, that's what he's going to be used as. So I don't know if that answers your question, Mike, but I don't think these coaches are being like defiant, just being like, well, we're not going to throw the ball to wide receivers. There's just not that much talent in the room.
Quick super chat from Renee Martinez. Reen Martinez. Let me know your pronunciation. Says, I think we're going to be just fine, and thank goodness Kelly Ayer is over. I think Reese and Freeman will do a great job. Appreciate the super chat. Mike, want to talk about JD Bertrand. So Notre Dame gets a turnover against Cal. I still haven't seen the targeting against the Golden Bears, and that I stepped out for that. And so he's the reason that Notre Dame didn't get that one. And then he's the reason that Notre Dame got their first turnover of the season. So it's a roller coaster for JD Bertrand and then targeting. So thoughts on Bertrand just these past couple games. And then if you want to touch on that targeting call as well, I hated it personally.
Well, it is what it is. So it is what it is. You know, if I go speed limits 45 miles an hour and I get pulled over going 48, I was still speeding.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, so the note that I put in my printer kind of screwed it up, but I was like, Kali versus JD, right? So we saw a little bit of Kali because JD obviously wasn't available for the first half. Coaches have the game plan, Mike. Okay. And I know that JD Bertrand's a captain, which is so interesting because like Bo Bauer doesn't really rotate in anymore. And he's a captain, special teams captain. Then your other captain, JD, will miss an entire game of football due to these targeting penalties. So they got to get ready for BYU. So that means first half BYU, that means that Collie's going to get a lot of those reps in place of JD, which is going to just further or accelerate Collie's development. I like JD as a player just because I know he plays hard, but like you're a bit of a liability. I mean, up to this point, objectively speaking, you're going to miss a whole game of football, two first halves because of how reckless you play. And that's no different than going back to like Tobias Merriweather. Can he earn a coach's trust? Is JD Bertrand, did he have the coach's trust? Is he losing the coach's trust? Because they can't game plan for you because you can't play. You're not there, right? I mean, it's no different than a kid that's like constantly hurt and he always has nagging things. Those coaches over time grow frustrated. So it's a frustrating situation for the coaching staff. It's a frustrating situation for JD. I'm a fan of his because he plays hard, again, physically limited. But the silver lining there, Michael, is Prince Kali, who I've always been a fan of, he's getting an opportunity to have maybe a premature comeuppance in terms of like his development. And the few snaps that you saw him play, completely different athlete in terms of the explosiveness that he's been blessed with.
Forgive me, Mike, for not remembering your wins and losses, specifically going into a bye week when you were playing at Notre Dame. I was in grade school after all. But I'm sure you've had losses going into a bye week and a win going into a bye week. How big is it for Notre Dame to get the win going into the bye week, especially considering you're 2-2 now with two straight wins rather than 1-3?
Yeah, I think it's huge, especially for this team that we talked about, or I talked about, kind of that fake tough guy sort of persona that we brought to the field versus Ohio State. You know, we came out throwing dukes, throwing haymakers, landed a few. But we forgot that there was a second half, and it's taken us a couple weeks to sort of recover from that and kind of rebrand ourselves. And, you know, I saw some clips and some photos post-game in the locker room, and it was like a kind of a feel-good energy, a lot of confidence. It was just great for that, a team that sort of maybe has a little bit of like a fragile persona, you know, still kind of finding their way of who we are as a team. So this, in this particular case, it's huge to go into this bye week. We just beat their ass. I mean, we beat that ass, you know. It's like, that's great. And you take that into the bye week. And I think it's going to be fun to see a couple young players that Holden Slays, as Dan Orlovsky kept calling him. And how difficult is it to say Michael Mayer? You know, if I had a nickel, if we're playing a drinking game watching that time, every time I hear Michael Meyer, it's like, you know, take a drink. But
Harry Highstand.
Yeah. Holden Slays. But Holden Stays, Eli Raritan playing a little bit. Like, I mean, it's a fun opportunity they've got. They've been able to dip their toes in. And, you know, Prince Kali, Xavier Watts, DJ Brown's got a hamstring, so you might see a little bit more of him. So I think it'll be good for the team.
Yeah, one thing I don't think is really interesting anymore is who started a game. Like, that's a big thing, though, on the starter. I mean, because you know who was a starter was Mr. Slays. Holden Stays was on the field for that first snap. He played.
And Diggs, right?
Yeah, nine snaps. He had nine snaps. Mm-hmm. And Diggs had 22. That was the least of the tight ends. And yeah, Davis Sherwood play. So it's like, I don't really care who started.
Davis Sherwood did a great job too.
He's a nice player, isn't he?
And there's a kid that I worked out with, and Barrett Liebentritt, who's a preferred walk-on Omaha kid. So he plays behind Sherwood, and so I'm familiar with that position and kind of their responsibilities. Barrett's on kick return and punt return. He's doing awesome. But yeah, Davis Sherwood played well. You know, when I heard that Bauman was out, you feel for the kid, obviously it sucks, but you know, again, the silver lining is, man, those two freshmen between Holden and Eli, dude, they look good. Like physically they look great. And somebody's telling me Holden Stays is a little bit lighter, but the way he's built, he's almost built like your boy, Burnham, in terms of like the thin waist and the big chest and the shoulders. Like, man, he looks the part. They both do.
Eli hasn't gotten a target yet, but look at those 30 snaps. That's huge for him. Mm-hmm. And he's been blocking well. I mean, for him in high school, I mean, he's this dominant basketball player and a big-time receiving threat. I don't think I thought of him as a blocking, you know, as this good of a blocker. I think he's going to be the next Michael Mayer for this Notre Dame offense as that all-around guy at the tight end spot.
I think he's been told as much by the staff as well. And so much of blocking is just, some of it's just effort and the willingness to stick your face in there to close that distance between me and there's times where, you know, he's got his hand in the dirt and Michael Mayer is the move guy. And you've got a true freshman Eli Raritan going man-to-man against a 22-year-old defensive end from UNC and more than holding his own. So he's going to earn his catches if and when they come. But
every time we talk about Notre Dame against North Carolina, I'm like, is this fool's gold? Like, how much is this is fool's gold? All right, Martinez with another super chat. Appreciate it. He says, Mike, what is your opinion going to Vegas? And is Vegas really BYU's backyard? I feel like Vegas and Brigham Young are complete opposites, but I guess
we're talking geographically.
Yeah, not so much lifestyle. With our offense finding themselves in BYU being defensive minded. So what's your opinion on, I don't know if you've got to watch BYU or know much about that team right now, Mike, but do you have any
opinion? I did watch the BYU Oregon game, and I didn't really drill into this, and what an asset Tim Hyde's become. I mean, like, in terms of that guy puts in the hours.
Yes, he does.
He's a ball coach, we love you, man.
He watches every video. I'm sure he's watched every second of the Goolsby show we've ever done for three seasons.
But I'm saying he'll go back and watch Ty Detmer film. Like, he'll go back and, I mean, so Tim's a huge asset to the team.
John Elway played there too. Is that John Elway? Played it by BYU?
I think so. But then I think he,
Stanford, yeah, oh, right. Crap. Stanford, oh, gosh, I'm going to get some heat for this.
No, I think you're thinking of Steve Young.
Okay, all right, at least I was close. I was in the ballpark.
I think that's what you're thinking.
Yeah, great school.
So I thought in watching that BYU-Oregon game that BYU was a little bit overvalued. So I was like, I don't know if they're as good as we thought they were prior to the season kicking off. And obviously there's folks that think the same way about us. So it should be like somewhat of an evenly matched team. I would say that we have better athletes where it counts. I lost to BYU at BYU, you know, my first game, my senior year. So they, I mean, they've got players, guys are older, you know, they've done their mission. They'll be well coached. They'll play hard. They won't back down. So I would, if just without really doing too much research, and I'll lean on Tim, but it should be a physical ball game to say the least. And it's just, I just want to say this. We thought we were Billy Badass going into the Ohio State game, right? We had been gassing ourselves up all offseason to come in and win this fist fight against Ohio State. Didn't quite work out. We brought that style of football to this week's game against the Tar Heels. I'm assuming we're going to bring it again against BYU. And they're going to give us more pushback than UNC did. So this will be a real test for our toughness in this physical brand of football that we're, well, it seems like we're going to, we really adopted here.
Okay. Michael says Vegas has a large Mormon population, believe it or not. So I've only been to Vegas once. It's a pretty cool place.
Well, it's overrated. Ugh. If we played that good.
Talk about
what did you just say?
They have a Taco Bell cantina.
What is that?
It's Taco Bell, but they serve alcohol. And it's just a cool Taco Bell. It has like a second floor. And it's
Mike,
what?
That's your takeaway.
Well, I love Taco Bell. Look, Mike. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I can't talk about the whole.
Apparently not.
The Taco Bell was fantastic.
Oh my god!
With the super chat, if we played that good all year that we played against North Carolina, you know, do you think we'd be 4-0, 3-1? I know North Carolina's defense sucked, but our defense is playing better.
Yeah, I think, I think if we played like that against Ohio State, I think we could have won, you know, but you didn't have, when we lost to Marshall, Mike, who did I put that loss on? Do you recall? You do so many of these shows, I'm sure they run together. Who did I put that loss on?
Probably Drew Pine. I don't know. I don't remember. I'm sorry.
It's fine. I put it on the offensive line and I put it on the defense.
Okay.
So like the offensive line going into the season, like, okay, that's our foundation. We can stand on our offensive line. I have confidence in that. And they didn't perform well as far as the interior three. Patterson's still coming off this. Well, he didn't even play against Ohio State. He's kind of nursing an injury. It wasn't great. And they've gotten better. They're less leaky. So it's like, had that been the case going into an Ohio State game, we might have won that game. I mean, so you could be 4-0, but and then it was just kind of discombobulation all over the place in terms of like, okay, we're freaking out. Like Tyler Buckner's our leading rusher, and we're trying to throw the ball with him. So it's like we didn't have an identity until the last second half of the Cal game and now this game. So it's like, had we just stuck to our guns coming out the second half of last day, you might have knocked them off too, man. So this team and its current form is going to be a power run game, and it's going to be defense. We knew that going into the Ohio State game. We sort of got away from it, and I'm glad that we've sort of rediscovered it, I guess.
You want to talk Maris Lefo?
We can, sure.
If Drew White was the guy that you, were the hardest on last year, last couple of years, probably Maris this year. So,
well, there's nothing sadder than wasted potential in any facet of life. But yeah, go ahead.
Six tackles and a half sack. Did he play better? What do you think?
Yeah, he played better. Like I said, I mean, that defensive coaching staff, I think they know who he is as an athlete. And Maris will play in the NFL. I mean, a kid that runs like he does with his kind of length, like, I mean, he'll play in the NFL unquestionably as long as he stays healthy, stays out of trouble, all that. But like we've seen him walked up as a stand-up defensive end. We tried that. Let's see if that's a fit. We've had him as a stand-up outside linebacker and like a bear front. And we've seen him as a will. in a kid like that, like he's not, it's just not in his DNA to be like a super disciplined, like no matter what happens, I gotta fit. I have to fit. It just doesn't suit his nature. So this week they let him just kind of freewheel a little bit more and just and play that spot position. You know, he's again uses those long arms. So we found kind of a fit for him. And the productivity went up. I mean, I can be hard on Maris, and I hope he's harder on himself because he's been so physically blessed with a lot of, you know, physical gifts and a two tackle performance against a Cal. He knows he's a better player than that, as do I. So it was nice to see him shine. And, you know, when we play so much nickel, man, on we don't really have a rover anymore. Like, I mean, Tariq, right. We play so much nickel with two inside linebackers. It's like a lot of this week was Jack Kaiser and it was Marist.
Yep.
No Bell Bauer, a little seven bit snap. Of Collie.
Seven Collie snaps got Bauer, 10 snaps Collie. Yeah, Bertrand 11, Tui Halamaka 3.
Yeah. So it's like, again, I think the coaching staff at this juncture of the season kind of realizes who they have and who we're going to kind of run with. But I still think you could use Marist in some, like if I really wanted to get Prince Kali and we did this exercise, like who's your favorite three linebackers? I still think you could put Marist in sort of a drop overhang outside linebacker position, use his length, plug Kali in at will. And then, you know, if you had JD or Bo playing Mike or something like that, I still think you could do more with Marist in pass coverage. Whereas this coaching staff seems like a little bit more focused on getting him to bring pressure. One other thing that I want to talk about just in terms of Maris, the defense in general, is like, I'm sure they track this, but like the way that we've been rotating, it's almost like a hockey line, like massive rotation for this group. They're going to get this series. Okay. And then we're going to bring in the next group of linebackers and the next group of defensive line and the next group of safeties. Like we're playing five safeties up to this six linebackers rotating our entire defensive line unit, but were they tracking the results of said drive? So if it was like Bo and Kaiser and they go on an 80-yard touchdown run versus we had, I'm just hypotheticals, we had JD and Marist and it was a three and out, are they tracking that? Because like what units, what pieces are we finding the most success with? So I assume that was a question for me going into the game. I think the coaches kind of are starting to figure out what those answers are. In terms of, you know, what guys are the most productive and the most efficient, the most three and outs, etc.
Okay, got the stats up. So Notre Dame allowed 367 yards. I mean, North Carolina really couldn't get much going on the ground. Just kind of an overall thought on the defense, Mike. And we're going to go about 9-10 minutes more for the show. So if you guys have any more super chats, please drop them and we'll get to them before we close the show, but are you concerned much about the defense moving forward? I mean, for me, like the Cam Hart touchdown, you don't seem very, upset about it. That's not the right word. Concerned is probably the right word. For me, I'd rather have a guy who's talented and it's just like, hey, don't do that again. And you learn not to do it rather than a guy who can't play. Just thoughts on maybe allowing some big plays because Notre Dame seemed to get in a lot of one-on-one scenarios outside and May, you know, torched them sometimes.
Yeah, I think May was a little bit probably overvalued in terms of the way that he's played the previous two games, just slightly overvalued. The Cam Hart, like giving up a touchdown at 4th and 21, it's dumb. But like I said, I do think that that's kind of born out of like a sense of urgency. Like, man, we got to create some turnovers.
And you're up 42-26 in the
fourth. Yeah, he's like, dude, I'm trying to make a crib call. I'm trying to pick this and get to the crib, get on SportsCenter. I get it. A bigger concern with Cam, though, is like I just don't feel like he's – and I know he had a hamstring kind of coming out of training camp, but like I just don't feel that he's played with the same amount of like urgency that he did last year. Like last year, I still think he was trying to make a name for himself, played a little bit harder. And then, you know, we're like, oh, well, Cam Hart's, you know, 6'2", 200 pounds, runs really well. He's an NFL guy. And I feel like he's playing like he's already there. I just don't think he's played up to his potential thus far. But yeah, the defense has been great. We just need to start creating turnovers, man. Like, I believe that the most important statistic in football is the turnover margin. We're negative for the year. And I'd like to see that change. And I think that that's just my big ask of the defense, is to rally to the ball. It makes them go have fun and knock a few balls loose, tip a few passes. It's something they should really take pride in.
It'd be very hard for Notre Dame to be positive in the turnover category, considering they have won in four games. So it's a very astute observation, Mike.
Hey, man, just letting everybody know, dude, just reiterating it.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. Give me your five best players for Notre Dame this season. I'll let you stew on that, because you talk about it a lot. The coaches can call an amazing game, but you need guys to just step up and make plays. Hey, against Marshall, Braden Lindsay, that ball was a little bit overthrown. But, bro, if you want to be a standout player, haul it in. Like, that's the difference between, you know, you just being a guy and you being a star. Like, make those big plays. So give me your five, Mike. Who are the guys making those plays? And you can do like five offense, five defense if you want, but I really want five.
I don't have five on defense. All right. So first name I wrote down was Joe Alt.
My boy.
I know who I'm talking to. but no, Joe Alt's been.
And folks in YouTube with Less Live or watching back, please drop your five as well.
I think, that a boy, Mike. I think Alt played exceptional. And again, like we were talking about Holden and Eli just sort of physically looking the part, like Alt looks the part. Michael Mayer, but I'm putting an asterisk because it's like he's played so well that I almost don't want to add him to the list because it's too obvious. I'm putting Estime in that group. I'd put Tyree in that group. I don't have a wide receiver in that group. So that's on offense. It'd be Alt.
Do you think about Styles?
No. He hasn't done anything to me that's like really jumped off the screen to me. Like, I think he's been fine. But yeah, I mean, as far as Alt, Mayer, Estimate, Tyree, I'm putting Howard Cross and Jacob Lacey in there. I think Riley Mills has kind of come on. I'm leaving Isaiah Foskey out. I don't have one for the linebackers. And you asked for five, Mike, and, you know, I'm going to.
Well, we're gonna
So I'm gonna go on defense. I'm going Cross, Lacey. I think Mills has played well, and you know, in terms of maximizing his ability, you feel me on that, Mike?
Sure.
And I'd probably put obviously Tariq Bracey. You did put me on the spot, so half of this is your fault.
I know.
And then I'm saying Benjamin Moore. I'm saying Benjamin Morrison.
May I add John Sott?
Of course you can.
Fantastic. All right, so here's who we got. We got a lot. Let's see if I
can. Offense, it's offense is Joe Alt, Michael Mayer, Estime.
Right, this Tyree. Is what I've got, Mike. Alt, Estime, Mayer, Tyree, Cross, Lacey, Mills, Bracey, Morrison, Sott. That's a lot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's 10 or 11. Trim it down. Give me five. I really want five.
Okay, I'm going Tariq Bracey, Michael Mayer, Joe Alt, Cross, and Estime.
Bracey, Mayer, Alt, Cross, Estime. That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, can we just kind of run through that group?
I'm going to get torched for that. I'm going to forget everybody. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, let's continue the exercise. Let's just say who you could be forgetting. None at quarterback. I think Estime's been the best running back.
Maybe Styles. I mean, you could say Styles.
We can discuss Styles. Mayer, obviously. I don't think there's another tight end. Alt, I don't think there's another offensive lineman. Like, we're not going to go with freaking five offensive linemen for this or anything. So, Alt's your best offensive lineman. Defensive line, I think Cross. I mean, is he still the leading tackler? I mean, he was the leading tackler after the Cal game.
Yeah, Kaiser's I'm sure now he is. Got him. Yeah.
But, I mean, he's got 23 tackles. I mean, he's, 23 tackles at the defensive line spot. I mean, that's good. That's not like 23 tackles at safety. You're making plays when you're a defensive lineman making.
And I think, you know, that was a fun exercise, and I'm sure you're going to finish your thought, but like, yeah. I've talked about the potential versus production. And like, these are guys that to me are like maximizing their physical gifts. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead. What were you? So what's the,
I don't know if there's one at linebacker, and I think you hit the best defensive back. So I think this is a good list.
Yeah. And I put Morrison. I mean,
it's close.
Like, yeah. And Morrison's got a lot of physical potential, but he's so young, and it's like Brandon Joseph's played fine. I think Xavier Watts has played fine, but I think that the expectation for a Brandon Joseph was much higher than what the production has been. And I mean, X Watts is one of my favorite players. He took a bad angle on that Clarence Lewis long ball, but God, I like the way that Xavier plays the game, dude. You know, and I think Tim said it best. Like, you know, he comes downhill so violently, and he's such a blur that you have to wait till the pile clears up. You're like, oh, that was X Watts, because he closes so violently.
Two things, and then we're gonna get out of here, because as you talked about Watts. I just think he's a football player, man.
Hell yeah.
Football player. I think as someone, and I don't like the dog on players. That's not my MO, but Braden Lindsay seems like more of a track star to me. You know, like, I think, like, I don't know if you throw Cam Hart in there, but guys that are maybe a little bit more specialty players, not one trick ponies, but kind of in that realm. Whereas Watts, someone just can do it all, dude.
Yeah. And
you give Mayer a jet sweep, for crying out loud.
Yeah, they can physically do a lot of things well. And it was great, I think, on that Clarence Lewis touchdown. You know, that receiver, I'm assuming, is probably a 4.4, 4.5 guy. He was not pulling away on Xavier in terms of, because Xavier's like a 4.7-ish guy. But like, Xavier was, you know, matching with him in terms of the speed. But you know, it's like a Lindsay. And I've watched a ton of football, man.
Yeah.
And it's like, when you kind of get into the culture and sort of the makeup of some of these players. And like, you know, I touched on this with Deon Colsey, who got a few snaps. Like, Deon Colsey's healthy, right? He's playing, he's on some special teams and whatever. But like, I just don't see, like, with the body English with Lorenzo Styles, excuse me, with Braden Lindsay, I just don't see it, man. Like, I just don't see that, like, that willingness to go up and get it and go compete. And that's, you know, that's a big, big, big part of what football is, you know. And like, Michael Mayer's doing stuff he don't have to do, because it's just, it's in his core, it's who he is, you know.
Yeah, so not a bad thought. Kind of makes sense.
No, that was fun. I'd like to give it another 2-3 games and see if our,
I'm
our,
talking
our
about just changes. my not the top five thing, that was obviously great. The you know, just the football guys, just like football, like Xavier Watson is a football guy.
But isn't a part of being a football guy, like, you know, like most, like you said on this show, like, well, that's spoken like a true inside linebacker, right? Because that's who I am.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's go play in the parking lot. Let's go compete. Right. So, I mean, that's part of what being a football player is the drive, you know, and it just so happens that a kid like X Watts has that.
All right, Thomas wants a live watch show for BYU game with Goolsby, Hyde, and Singer. It's something we've tossed around. It's in the pipeline. It's in the pipeline. Now, Milton fan super chat. Historically, is Notre Dame hesitant to playing freshmen? I mean, I wish Lou Samoji were with us, or if Tim Hyde were on the show. Maybe you save that for Tim Hyde. He's more of a historian than myself and Mike. But do you have any thoughts on this, Mike?
I would say,
it seems like all the time we say they're not playing Merriweather, but Ben Morrison, Jaden Mickey, Eli Raritan, Holden stays. Like, if you want to go,
Collie played as a true freshman. I mean, Joe Walt, Blake Fisher, yeah. So I would say that under Brian Kelly, if we're saying historically, we'll just talk about the very recent history. I think that was true with Brian Kelly. And this will probably get into this a little bit in the offseason in terms of like the way that they've recruited or haven't recruited quarterbacks and stuff like that. But yeah, I think that Brian Kelly looked for like a safe player. I think that Brian Kelly is happy to engineer a 10-win season. But yeah, I think that historically under Brian Kelly, that was the case. I felt a little bit of that, like that seniority thing. Notre Dame's culture is so strong that it's like, yeah, you almost have to pay your dues. And unless we can, you know, get some of these freak athlete. Yeah. I mean, we're playing Holden Stays. We're playing Eli this year. Right? We're playing freshmen. So it isn't unless you get an exceptional kid. That's like, man, we got to get this kid on the field. And we haven't had a lot of those types of players. You're going to start to see more roll in with Freeman. So I do think that narrative will change in terms of all things being equal. The senior doesn't deserve to play because he's been here for 4 years and paid his dues. In my purview, the young kid deserves to play because he's got the most upside.
Yeah, it's nice, like the human elements of you've been here all these years. We want to give you, you know, your shot. You've earned it. With the kind of that juxtaposed with, I need to play the best player to keep my job. You know, as a coach, you know, like that's important too.
So well, we're trying to win a national championship, man. And it's like, Yeah. So I think we'll start to see more talented kids come in and get inserted and get rolled in. And that's all part of that development piece. Yeah. You know, I mean, shoot, look at the wide receiver position, Mike. I mean, like under what's his face, I forget the receivers coach, Del Alexander, like none of these kids played until they're 4 years into the program. Like that's one extreme, you know, playing a bunch of true freshmen's another extreme. Yeah, but we have to go, you know, hedge more towards the younger side if they've got some physical gifts.
Mr. Goolsby, fun show as always. So I'm guessing we'll probably miss you next Sunday. Just so Mike Singer, I do 4 live shows a week now. So it's going to have to be 3. So I probably will take off next Sunday for the live show. Unless you really are raring up to go, then we can hop on there.
Yeah, whatever's clever, man. I was thinking like I'd like to do like a 10-15 minute. I say 10 minutes if you wind me up, probably make it 30 minutes, but like I'd like to do a 10 minute like almost day of the game, like here's what I'm thinking about.
Okay.
Or notes. So maybe going forward if you're available, like okay, kickoff's at 1:30, let's jump on at like 1:00. Just boom, let's jump into the watch the game and then come back revisit it Sunday night. But I think Sunday night at 6:00 Central has been good.
All right. Sweet. Well, that's kind of our logistic talk. This is how we discuss.
It's crazy. It's been pretty quiet in the chat, the super chats, dude. It's like, man, when Notre Dame wins, you know, nobody wants to talk Notre Dame football. Like when we lose, it's good for our business, right? Isn't that bizarre?
Interesting is what's good for our business. Whatever's interesting.
Yeah, that's fair.
Losing, you know, beating Clemson in 2020, you're losing to Marshall. I think one of our biggest shows ever was obviously the Ohio State game, but Toledo. Toledo last year was one of our biggest shows for yeah. Live shows. Obviously the Marshall one, yours and the Hyde show were huge. Milton fans, aren't you on Shoremore? Showed more, maybe. Look, guys, the Goolsby show is a treat. You get it once a week, and it's a treat. We load up these shows. Lots of good stuff.
Yeah, man. And I do put a fair amount of effort in, Mike, into trying to think of, like, novel thoughts and try to bring up talking points because there's a lot of Notre Dame, you know, football coverage out there, and I can't say enough about how much I appreciate the support and continue to try and grow this sucker. So yeah, tell a friend.
Yeah, we have a great time doing it. So all right, well, that's gonna wrap up this week's show. Appreciate it, guys. Hit that thumbs up. If you're maybe watching late on YouTube, you just tuned into live channel, you know, once we end this, you just go watch it from the beginning and catch up. So yeah, fun show today. Thumbs up, subscribe, leave a nice review if you're listening on podcasts. Head to blueandgold.com. You get all the recruiting insight, all the premium articles on the football team, chat with thousands of Notre Dame fans on our message board. Tim Hyde's on there, always talking it up. Yeah, definitely appreciate everyone watching, and we will catch you guys next time.